A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
On DAB+, online, via the TalkSport app, and on your smart speaker.
The Women's Football Show with Baker Others.
It's a really, really good finish. I love goals like that on TalkSport 2.
Happy New Week, you lovely lot. This is TalkSport's Women's Football Show podcast. I'm Faker Ruthers, bringing you loads of exclusive content. We'll be here every week, rounding up the very best of the show. And don't forget, you can listen back to the full Women's Football Show via the TalkSport app. This week, we were on Monday at 7pm, so just swipe for TalkSport 2, find Monday, and you can listen in full then. Now, the fallout from Emma Hayes' departure from WSL champions Chelsea continued this week, with reports suggesting the club's delay over contract negotiations left the door open for the US women's national team to come in and make her an offer. It's still not been confirmed she's taking over the vacant manager's role stateside, but it seems like a deal is close, although Emma Hayes herself refused to comment on the speculation. Former Tottenham captain Jenna Scalacci and I listened back to Hayes' pre-match press conference as we reflected on some of her comments in the wake of Chelsea's 3-0 win over Everton.
Listen, I've been in post for 12 years and I've dedicated my life to this place. I drive 4 hours every day, 6 days a week for 12 years. And I have a 5-year-old that needs more of his mummy, for sure. That's important. Family matters. And I think I've dedicated as much as I possibly can to this football club. I've loved every minute of it. And I think it's really important that, if possible, let's create a succession plan for me, much like Paul and I do with the players. So the time is right, and I will work with a club in the succession plan and do everything I can to make sure there is as good a transition as possible so that my successor can equally have the same level of success I have. I believe in private conversations. So, of course, I'm disappointed to hear things being said in the press. But I want to make sure that I maintain my own professionalism in everything I do. I have a team to focus on. I've got games to win. And I don't think anything will come between me and the players and me and the fans. I understand Chelsea. I know Chelsea. This is my club. It will always be my club. And while I am sad on many, many levels, I've always said to the fans, there'll come that moment when I'm sat with them in the crowd, and I look forward to that come the end of the season. You know, I come to work every day with a group of people that some of them I've worked with like the entire time, not just players but staff, and what we have created down in that building is magical and something that I know every player appreciates being a part of. As far as I'm concerned, the people I have worked with in that period have made me feel the best coach I can feel, though that's not always easy when you drop players or, you know, they're not playing week in, week out. So I leave at the end of the season knowing I've given everything and I've done everything. As I said before, conversations that are private between me and the club remain private on my end, and I will maintain that.
Jenna, we both know Emma Hayes, and you know she's a person of high integrity. And she said there how disappointed she was that private conversations had seemingly been leaked to the press. None of that's very helpful for either party, is it?
No, and obviously it's sad that it's come to that, given what Emma's done for the club. And, you know, she's been there for a long, long time. And you'd like to think that the respect is there both ways and private conversations do stay private. But unfortunately, as we all know, that's the way that our game is going now. And yeah, really disappointed. And you could see she was, that hurt her, that private conversations has been leaked.
Yeah, we spoke last week about her legacy and what it means for Chelsea going forward. But what did you make of the suggestion that they took too long over her contract?
Yeah, I mean, she's one of the best in the world, isn't she? And you'd like to think that they would have, that would have been on their priority list. I know within the club, they've had their troubles over the last couple of seasons now, but you'd like to think that the women's team and Emma Hayes is a main priority. And unfortunately for them, they didn't react quick enough. And of course, there's going to be people coming in and snapping her up because she is world class. And she's made hints over the last couple of seasons that, you know, her looking towards the future, obviously her family, I think obviously losing her dad recently as well, probably plays a massive part, and family's so important to her. She hinted that she would, it wouldn't be club football again. So I think, you know, being in an international setup will allow her to have that time. And, you know, there's rumours going around about the offers that have come in from obviously USA, and it's incredible. And it doesn't surprise me that she has gone, but what a legacy she leaves behind. And I think the timing of it is good timing, because she's also thinking about the club as well. And she wants to be part of the succession plan. She wants to be part of the panel that brings in, you know, the next manager to continue all the work, because she has given up her life to that club. And it would be gutting for her to leave and see the club go downhill. So I think that's really important. And I think the timing allows that.
Yeah, definitely. News of her departure at the end of the season didn't affect Chelsea's performance at Walton Hall Park, though. They cruised past Everton with Jessie Fleming, Sam Kerr and Aggie Beaver-Jones on the score sheet. Business as usual.
Yeah, I think, and you know, I expected that. I think if anything, these players now will want to give everything to make sure that they send Emma Hayes out on a high for everything she's done for every single player. She's hugely respected. And yeah, a really professional performance from them. I thought the early goal conceded by Everton, you know, against a Chelsea team, you can't afford to be doing that. But you give credit to Everton because they stayed in the game, and I thought they would probably felt a bit unlucky going in 1-0 down. And then obviously second half, fantastic Sam Kerr goal, and business as usual. Yeah, it was a comfortable win in the end from Chelsea.
Yeah, let's hear the thoughts of the Chelsea manager. TalkSport's Jeff Peters spoke to Emma Hayes after the game.
Brilliant to come away from home against a very physical Everton team on the back of their midweek loss. I thought Everton did well in the first half. I thought we were comfortable the first part of the game. Then we stopped losing. We stopped winning the duels, both aerially and on the ground. And I think that allowed them to get a foothold into the game. But we made some adjustments at half-time. Good goal from Jessie Fleming. Really good goal for the second goal. I think the way we worked the ball in the final third. And third one, Aggie Beaver-Jones. I think you're going to start to see more and more of these types of finishes from her. She's exceptional.
At half-time, your goalkeeper had made some terrific saves.
Absolutely. We were fortunate to come in 1-0, I felt, at half-time. But, you know, Anne set her a challenge this year. She has to step forward and improve on her game. She knows the areas she's got to improve, and I thought she was absolutely solid today.
What pleased you most today with your team?
Always adapting. I like that whenever challenges are thrown at us, we can tactically throw things at them and they can do it really, really quickly. I always like that part.
4 points clear at the top of the table now.
Do you know what? I haven't looked at that. I know Manchester City lost today, but I don't know the point gap. So thanks for telling me, but we're not even halfway yet.
What's this week been like for you?
I've had a lot of love. And that's always nice as a human being to know people, I don't know, care about your work. And as I've said all week, I just wanted everyone to know I've worked as hard as I can, and while I'm still here, I will continue to do that.
From an Everton perspective, Jenna, it was their fourth defeat of the season. They lie 10th on 4 points. Brian Sorensen's side lacking that clinical edge. But the scoreline didn't really tell the whole story, and he insists that the first home win is coming and his side can turn things around.
Said to the girls in the hall after, you know, proud of especially the first half. I think we we deserve more with what we, you know, brought into the game. Yeah, you know, it's hard for me to ask with the struggles we have with we have been have sickness in the squad. We have in like key players out in injuries. We have some just come back almost from today, and it's limited on time. But you know, we managed it through. Second half, we don't have the energy because we also have to take key players off, so that we don't hurt them again. Yeah, overall, happy with performance. I felt we should have got more out of the game, but when we don't take so big chances, it's hard not to get a result. Of course, we have the team to do it. It's a little funny thing because I feel we're hot down by the Brighton game where we lose 2-1, and then the Leicester game for sure where we miss a penalty and get a goal disallowed. That's a clear goal because that would have been 6 points in the bank together with the four we had, and then we would have been in the top of the league today. But you know, that's how football is. If you don't take your chances and you're not ruthless enough, you can end up where we are. I'm focusing on performance. Performance has been good, except the one in Thursday, but we know that because of the legs we need to save. And today we showed that we can put in a good performance against a very, very good team. And if we can create the chances against them, I'm pretty sure we can do that against a team like Bristol.
As Brian Sorensen said there, Jenna, they have Bristol City next weekend and he believes that they can win that. There are extenuating circumstances with squad illness, etc. And they were decent in the opening stages of the game against Chelsea, but kind of faded in the second half. Do you agree with him? Can they turn it around?
Yeah, I think given their first half performance, I thought they really took the game to Chelsea. And after conceding so early, it's really easy to crumble, especially against a Chelsea team, but they didn't. And as I said, I thought they felt disappointed to go in at 1-0 down at half time. And it was just the second half. They ran out of legs. Obviously, the depth due to the illness didn't help them in the second half in terms of what changes they could make. But yeah, looking ahead, that Bristol game's huge. Just looking at the league table now, there's almost already that mini league kicking off down at the bottom of the table, and they'll want to get those 3 points. They need a 3 points really to get their season going. And similarly to Bristol, it's going to be a huge game.
There were goals galore in the WSL. While Chelsea maintained their top form, Manchester City suffered a shock defeat and Aston Villa finally picked up their first points of the season. Jenna and I broke down all the rest of the action that's caused a shake-up in the WSL table. What a second half performance Arsenal put on in front of the cameras at King Power Stadium in the Sunday night game. It finished Leicester 2, Arsenal 6, and Leicester had led by 2-0 at half time, thanks to 2 goals in 2 minutes from Sam Tierney and Janis Kamen. But Arsenal came out all guns blazing in the second half, and Willie Kirk's side defensively fell apart, conceding 6 goals, 6 different goal scorers for Arsenal as well. Let me take a breath. Chloe Lacasse, Alessia Russo, Caitlin Ford, Victoria Pilova, Stina Blackstenius, and Lena Hurtig. I mean, what a game it was, Jenna. How do you even begin analysing that?
Oh, yeah, what a game. And, you know, I think at 2-0, I thought Leicester, the first half, were fantastic. I think Pilova obviously had the couple of chances early on in that first half, which could have probably put the game away there and then quite early on in the match. But, you know, she missed two very good opportunities. And I think Leicester were fantastic. I thought Hannah Kane was really, you know, it's not often you see a player dominate Katie McCabe out there on that left-hand side. And her pace, she was getting the better of McCabe. And yeah, two really well-took goals. And, you know, when they go 1-0 up, you think, OK, they're just going to sit back now, get through to half-time, going at 1-0 up. But they didn't. They kicked on again. And again, it came down that left-hand side through Kane, I think it was, and McCabe. And, yeah, fantastic from them. And then you go in at half-time and to go 2-0 up against Arsenal, that's no mean feat. So you kind of know what second half you're going to be in for. And I think maybe that's where their experience may have cost them. They didn't sit back and they were punished. I mean, it was a masterclass from Arsenal in the second half in transition. Some of them goals on transition were fantastic, the pace of it. And as you say, Leicester just fell apart. But I felt the first half, I could see Leicester going on and really kicking on and scoring even more goals. I thought Arsenal looked a bit vulnerable. But yeah, I mean, fantastic second half performance, 6 different goal scorers. It was a real masterclass from Arsenal.
What's your pick of the 6 Arsenal goals?
Mine was the third one, the counter. It was the Russo assist. So it started well deep in their half, Lacasse to Russo, first time into Caitlin Ford, and it was a lovely dink goal. So for me, that one, that was just a beautiful team goal.
Yeah, Lena Hertig's first goal in the WSL as well. But it's going to give Alessia Russo a bit of confidence, surely, isn't it?
Yeah, we spoke about her last week and, you know, her not just being a goal scorer, and she was at the heart of many of those goals yesterday, just her work rate off the ball, dropping deep, and then, you know, providing assists and got the goal herself. So, yeah, she just works so, so hard for her team. And you can see her growing each game, and happy for her that she's got her second goal of the season.
Yeah, there were five different goal scorers at Leigh Sports Village over the weekend as well. It finished Manchester United 5, West Ham 0. United continuing to keep the pressure on Chelsea. They're still unbeaten this season. Dominated the first half with Jace scoring her first goal of the season after 3 minutes. Millie Turner and Nikita Paris made it 3 before the break. West Ham did improve in the second half, but they couldn't get past Mary Earps, and Garcia and Mallard's goals sealed a comfortable win for Mark Skinner's side. The fact it's five different goal scorers, same as the 6 for Arsenal, that's pretty impressive, I would say, Jenna.
Yeah, really impressive. They're not relying on just one goal scorer, are they? There's goals all across that front line, and saw Millie Turner, the centre-back, popping up with probably one of the best of the bunch there yesterday. But yeah, it was a great start from the off, the early goal from Jace, and going in at 3-0 down, West Ham, it's always a huge, huge mountain to climb. So they've kind of given them no chance by starting off really slowly. They did improve in the second half, but at that point it was far too late to get anything out of the game. And they seem to be in a little bit of a rut now, West Ham, struggling to pick up the points. But yeah, full credit to Manchester United. They were dominant, 5 goals, none conceded. Really, really pleased. And Mark Skinner will be happy with that.
It's been a really tough start to life at West Ham for Rhian Skinner, though, hasn't it? Just the one win over Brighton a month ago. They lost Viviane Asai and Onaka Hayashi to injury as well. And it's Aston Villa for them next week. Did you expect them to have been better than this?
I think in earlier on in the season, they showed really good signs of improvement over the summer, and with Rhian coming in and some changes there. The loss of Asai was a big blow to them. I think she's one of their, you know, real danger players. And when you're playing against a Manchester United team who enjoy a lot of the ball, that's kind of like your target player, isn't it? And they were without her. But you would expect them to do a bit better. They are quite solid and organised under Rhian. But yesterday they weren't. We didn't see that. They were quite easy to break down. I think Manchester United were quite creative and they made it easy for Manchester United in some ways. But I think Rhian's going to, you know, she's been in this kind of situation before. She still has the time. But I think, yeah, you'd expect them to be doing a bit better. And I guess now you look at the games that realistically you're going to win, and probably Manchester United was never going to be one of them.
Yeah, absolutely. So Manchester United move up to third. They're 4 points behind Chelsea. Arsenal are on second on 3 points behind the league leaders. Liverpool and Spurs started the weekend ahead of United, but played out a 1-1 draw at Brisbane Road with 2 Norwegians on the score sheet. Salim Bizet put Tottenham ahead midway through the first half with an impressive solo goal before Liverpool's summer signing Sophie Roman-Hau equalised on 67 minutes with her first goal for the club, leaving the points shared. As you say, Jenna, you were there for this one. Liverpool could have maybe got all 3 points through Gemma Bonner, but her volley went wide towards the end of the game. Was a point each the right result?
I think over the 90 minutes, when reflecting, I think a point apiece is probably a fair result. I thought Tottenham were the better team in the first half, and then Liverpool grew into it and finished off the better team. I think Tottenham will feel really frustrated because for long periods in that first half, they were on top and they just couldn't find that second goal. Obviously, it was a fantastic solo effort from Salim Bizet's. Picked the ball up, won the ball back deep in her own half, and it was just amazing, amazing run. And I don't know if you've had a chance to see it, but the Martha Thomas run to create the space for Bizet to then exploit and get a shot off was fantastic. So yeah, after the goal went in, Bizet had another opportunity to score, come crushing off of the crossbar, and they really just couldn't find that second goal. And you know, 1-0 was a really risky scoreline, and then second half Liverpool came out, I think, the better team. They had the better of the second half and switched off defensively Tottenham at the back post and were punished from the header. And then, I think the closing stages, Liverpool were on top, and I think Tottenham were thankful for the final whistle. But yeah, frustration from Tottenham, but I think overall a fair result.
Yeah, the run was superb from Martha Thomas. And, you know, we expect her on the score sheet, don't we? So, you know, the fact that she's helping with assists as well is really important, but could have done with a goal at the weekend as well. I mean, both these teams really, along with Leicester, have been the surprise packages of the season so far. Can they genuinely challenge in the traditional top three that's kind of now four with Manchester United in the mix as well?
Yeah, I think obviously they've surprised quite a few people, Tottenham and Liverpool. I think the only thing that may maybe go against them is the depth in their squads. I think if you're looking at yesterday, Olga, who's been a key player for Tottenham in that midfield, really sad sight to see. She went down late on. Fingers crossed it's not the dreaded three words. But, you know, she's been consistent, and Robert Villaham hasn't liked to really change much of his squad. Now, I think now this is the time of the season where you start to pick up injuries, those niggles, and your squad depth just depletes a little bit. I think that will be maybe the thing that may let them down. But they're so improved. The depths are, you know, they're actually really difficult to break down, both of these teams, and they've got the threats going forward. So I think as long as they can keep their squads fit, I think they'll really cause some trouble to the teams above them.
Yeah, Olga Artanen stretchered off, and Luana Bula as well was taken off earlier on in the game. That could be a problem for next week's WSL match against Leicester, which is a big one.
Yeah, really big game. I think I actually can't wait for this one. I mean, if you look back to last season of Tottenham-Leicester, I don't think many people would be interested. But Leicester, again, another team that I think they'll take a lot of confidence from their game, despite, you know, that second half battering from Arsenal. But much improved team, and both teams will want to get the 3 points. But yeah, that's going to be a really interesting watch. And hopefully Tottenham's injuries aren't as bad as they looked yesterday.
Liverpool face Chelsea. Tough one for Matt Beard's side, but we know he can cause an upset. And Liverpool absolutely flying so far this season. Perhaps the shock of the weekend in the Women's Super League. Brighton scored a late winner, giving them a 1-0 victory over Manchester City. That makes it two consecutive defeats for Gareth Taylor's side after their late 2-1 loss to Arsenal last weekend. Brighton goalkeeper Sophie Bagley made 13 saves in this match, denying Manchester City. She's been absolutely superb this season, hasn't she? And Lee Heung-min snatched the win for Brighton in the 81st minute, putting the ball past Kiara Keating. Look, from a Manchester City point of view, Jenna, it was frustrating for them. It was a dominant start to the season, but two defeats on the bounce. It's still early days, but how much does that dent their title aspirations?
Yeah, I think it's a huge blow to their title hopes. I think it's no secret you can't afford to drop too many points in this league, and two on a bounce is it's a bad run for City. I think especially against a Brighton team who've we expected them to do well this season, given their recruits, but they've struggled to get their season, you know, off the ground. And I think you've got to give full credit to Brighton and Melissa Phillips' team. I thought they had to be so resilient. They had to soak up so much pressure. And obviously Sophie Bagley was fantastic in goal again for them. And, you know, they didn't get many chances. I think they had three shots and they scored one of them. So they had to be clinical when those opportunities come around. And it was almost like Man City's ex-players in Bremer and Lee come back to haunt them yesterday. But I thought Brighton were fantastic. They were organised. They were solid. They made it really difficult for Man City. But if you're looking at it from a Man City's point of view, they had a lot of chances in that first half. They created a lot of chances, but they just weren't clinical enough. And we saw signs of that against Arsenal as well last week. And ultimately they got punished. But yeah, massive blow for City's title hopes, but a fantastic 3 points and well-earned for Brighton.
Yeah, it's actually the first time Brighton have ever beaten Manchester City. A huge result for them, especially after getting a draw against Manchester United last weekend. How much confidence is that going to give them? And is this maybe the kind of start of their resurgence or the start of this new era under Melissa Phillips?
I think so. And I think when you look at a Manchester United team and Man City, there's not many teams in this league that will be able to take points from them. The fact they've done it twice in a, you know, on a bounce is huge for them. They had a really tough, you know, three defeats in a row. So I think they'll take a lot from that, and they'll have that confidence now that they can go on. And if they can take points off of Man City, there's no reason why they can't take points off of anyone else in that league. So I think a massive, massive confidence boost from their team now.
Yeah, most definitely. They're in eighth on 7 points. Manchester City in sixth on 10 points, 6 points now behind Chelsea, having played the same amount of games. So some work to do for Gareth Taylor and his side. There was plenty of work to do for the last two teams that we'll talk about in this recap of the WSL action from the weekend. Aston Villa finally picked up their first points of the season, securing a 2-0 victory over Bristol City. It was two late goals that won it in the end, but Villa were the stronger team throughout and dominated possession. It took them until deep into the second half, though, to break the deadlock. Ebony Salmon's cross into the box took a deflection off Megan Connolly in the 77th minute, and then Salmon made sure of the win 10 minutes later, squeezing a shot past the keeper to lift Villa off the bottom of the table and above Bristol City because of their superior goal difference. Big relief for Villa and for Carla Ward as well, but you have to say it certainly didn't really looked like it was a transformed team, and they were still struggling to create chances in the match before Ebony Salmon came on.
Yeah, I mean, it's no secret they've been really, really struggling, haven't they? And the pressure's really been on Carla Ward. But I think she gave a really honest interview last weekend, and it's clear that her team are behind her, her players are supporting her, and they're trusting in it. And we spoke last week that this was absolutely massive. They had to get 3 points yesterday, and yeah, it wasn't pretty. Yeah, they weren't at their best, but they've got the 3 points, and hopefully this will kickstart their season and take a little bit of pressure off of the players and Carla Ward as well. I think when you're, you know, five defeats in the opening start of this season, it's so hard for players to get that confidence and go out there and be, you know, comfortable enough and brave enough to express themselves as players like we saw them do last season. It's so, so difficult. So I think mentally that 3 points will be huge for them. And hopefully we see that now kick on and we start to see signs of the Villa team that we saw last season.
Bristol City goalkeeper Kaylin Marquise went off with a nasty looking injury in the first half after she collided with the post. Hopefully she makes a swift recovery. But Bristol City really held their own for most of that game off the back of an impressive win over West Ham. A lot of people think that they're clear candidates for relegation. Lauren Smith certainly disagrees, as you would expect the head coach too. But she said, actually, you know, what the table reflects now is not how it's going to be at the end of the season. What do you think?
Yeah, I think I agree. I think I've watched them a few times now, and I think they've got a squad there that are fighting, that they're organised. They're hard, really hard to play against. I watched them when they played against Arsenal, and Arsenal really struggled to find a way to break them down. And obviously they've got their 3 points now. And I think for the league, I think it's great that they both teams have now got their 3 points, because we don't want to get to a point where we know, you know, who, well, we thought last season we knew who was going to be relegated at Christmas, and that flipped it on its head. But I think you want that relegation battle fight, and you don't want someone down and out by the time it's Christmas. And no, I think it's going to be interesting. I think they will be people's favourites to go down. I think it's extremely difficult to come into this league and establish yourself in just one season. But I think they might still throw up a few surprises and take some points off of teams.
Yeah, let's round up the Championship, shall we? You know, every week we say it's so close but at the top, but it is again, because Charlton's 2-0 victory over Southampton means they overtake Sunderland to become the new leaders in the table. It's just chop and change and tag team at the moment, it feels. That's because Sunderland lost their clash against Blackburn Rovers by a 0-2. Meanwhile, Birmingham City continued their unbeaten run. They beat London City Lionesses by 0-0. Crystal Palace came out on top in a 5-goal thriller against bottom of the table Lewis. They beat them 3-2. So Palace sit third in the table, but they still do have a game in hand, so they have the potential to go top with a win. Durham beat Sheffield United 1-0. Both those teams kind of having very mixed seasons, really, you'd say. And Reading and Watford played out a goalless draw, which will have pleased neither of them, really, because they sit 10th and 11th in the table, just outside the relegation place. Charlton and Sunderland sit in first and second place, both on 21 points and with the exact same goal difference. They play each other next weekend, Jenna, which is going to be crucial and fascinating.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just looking at the table now. It's really tight, isn't it? Pleased to see Charlton up there at the top. But yeah, next week's game is going to be absolutely massive for both teams. I think this league is such a competitive league and a really difficult league to get out of. And I think teams, when you're up the top, you really do have to take one match at a time because it is looking very, very tight. And you've got to, you know, not look too far ahead because there's a lot of games to go. But it's important that you just focus on each game because it looks like anyone's beating anyone at the minute, and you take your eye off the ball and you could be punished and miss out on a promotion spot. But yeah, it's exciting, and that's exactly what you want from your Championship League, isn't it?
Seventh upwards, you kind of look at. Durham sit in seventh place on 14 points. Then it's Blackburn Rovers on 15. Birmingham have got 17. Southampton on 18, Crystal Palace with that game in hand on 20, and then Sunderland and Charlton on 21. I mean, you know, yeah. It's just brilliant coming up to halfway point of the season as well.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable, too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
England manager Serena Wiegmann has been promoting her new book, What It Takes, and she came into TalkSport Towers to chat with me and TalkSport breakfast presenter Gabby Agbonlahor last week. We discussed a wide range of topics, but it was Gabby's daughter Evelyn who kicked off the interview.
Hi Serena, what advice would you give a 12-year-old girl who wants to be a professional footballer?
Oh, that's a good question. The first advice I would give is just enjoy the game, have fun and do your best. And the rest will come.
For me, Serena, my daughter Evelyn, she plays now for a team called Sutton Coldfield Town. They're a team in Birmingham, and she's been playing with her brother for since she was 3 years old, enjoying football. But we haven't managed to get her a team. But now the games, because of yourself and the Lionesses, the game's got so much bigger now. There's more girls' teams, and her team, her teammates, the parents. They're all buzzing with their young daughters playing the game. So they're really loving football at the moment.
Yeah, I think that's really great. You know, I started with my brother too, but that's years ago. And then girls were not allowed to play. And it was not cool to play football for a girl. And things changed over the years so much. So that's so valuable that now your daughter has an opportunity to play. And with her brother or with peers or with other girls or boys.
Yes.
And I think that's very, very valuable. And she also has examples, so she can watch football and see, you know, Frank Kirby or Ella Toon.
Exactly.
Or whoever you, and
yes.
She can buy a shirt and get the name on the back. And we say, what you see, you can be. And that's very inspirational, I think.
Serena, the book that you've got out is on leadership, and it's not just inspiring girls to play football as well. It's potentially inspiring girls to become managers like yourself as well.
Yeah. What I hope with the book is just inspire people and everyone who likes football or likes education or management. I hope they buy the book and enjoy reading it. But the extra I would like to get there with the book is that women will read it and say, okay, I want to become a coach, but this just gives me the little push, extra push, and just I'm going for it, and I hope that inspires them.
So why did you want to become a coach, and what's your leadership style?
Yeah, well, when I was young, there was no opportunity to become a coach, a football coach. So I didn't have the examples. Now you do have the examples, and we want more examples. So I first wanted to be a PE teacher because I could become a PE teacher. And I knew that from a very young age. So I love sports, especially football. And I love working or connecting with people. So over the years, got more and more opportunities to become a coach. So I took my coach courses, and as soon as I got the opportunity to coach, I did. And when I quit playing myself, and then later on, I got the opportunity to be professional coach. That just came over the years, and I just love football. I love coaching and working with people.
I wanted to ask you about how you deal with, you know, when players aren't playing and you leave players out of squads. How do you deal with that? Because players, naturally, you get upset, don't you?
Yeah, well, of course, that's hard. Like, it's we play at the highest level, and at the highest level, you play to win and you make decisions to win. Well, we have a team of 23, and sometimes we have a little more, but when we go into a game, the squad can only have 23 players. And you need all those players, so you have to really, you know, connect with 23 players, but you can only start 11. When you're a sub, that's harder. And it also depends on what the expectations are. So you have to manage expectations. And some players, like the younger players, are still growing. When you're older and you have had that growth, then what's your next step? I think it's important to keep connected with the players and tell them where they are at the moment, what are the super strengths and what can they improve, to have conversation about that so they can still work on their development. And then you have the part where with whom are they competing, and I will bring the best team on the pitch. Well, I think it's the best team. So you can't control what your competitors do, but you can control your own development. And I think I have to be clear to them how we see it and trying to help them in their development.
You know, you're obviously a hugely inspirational coach yourself, and another inspirational coach in this country is Emma Hayes, who's announced she's leaving Chelsea. How big a miss would she be to the WSL, and how much of an asset and now a potential opponent for you if she goes to the US women's national team?
Yeah, well, let's first celebrate what she's done for the game here in England for Chelsea, but I think worldwide too. She has done an incredible job, and I think she got so much respect and deserved respect. And I think Chelsea also showed respect. So they announced it early, and they really want to just start it, but have a very good season. I think, of course, it's a disappointment that she will leave because she can still have a big impact on the game here. But I think overall for her, it's good to move on to after, well, then it will be 12 years. And for the women's game, it's good overall that she takes another opportunity. So she will not leave the women's game, and I think that's a good thing.
Yeah, I think that's a good thing as well. And actually, it's a debate that we were having earlier on in the studio about this clamour for top female coaches to immediately go into the men's game, and why that doesn't necessarily have to be the case. What's your opinion on it?
Yeah, I think, you know, it's so nice to work in a women's game. Like, what you want is work with the best players, and the players are so committed and it's such a high level. And I just love doing that. The other thing in the women's game is that everyone is so conscious of where we come from and where we are right now, and we want to keep going forward. So there's a big societal consciousness, and this generation really, of course, we want to perform at the highest level, and that gives us visibility, and then that gives us also the stage to address things and to make the position of women in football, but also women in general, make a better place for them.
Got one last question for you, and it's on VAR, and I'm sorry because we've discussed VAR.
That's not part of my book, is it?
Well, no, it's not in your book, it's not, but I would love your opinions on it, because the CEO of IFAB was on with Jim White and Simon Jordan and basically said it's going to take 10 years before VAR is accepted and is working. Why is this taking so long, technology in football, and what are your opinions on VAR? I know what Gabby's are, but what are yours?
Yeah, well, I missed that conversation yesterday. I think VAR is now in the game. what I hope, and what we talked about that before in the women's game, that is consistent, that's going to be consistent. So now in, and so in the Nations League, either have it all or don't have it. And I do think that we're still improving it. I think it makes the game at moments honester, and it has so, results have so much impact. So I think that's good. And yes, innovation takes time.
The FA have announced this year's prize fund for the Women's FA Cup will be doubled to a total of £6 million. The winners will now receive £430,000. That's over four times last year's amount of £100,000 when Chelsea lifted the trophy. The FA's Director of Women's Football, Baroness Sue Campbell, said it's a positive step towards a long-term ambition of achieving equal prize money. I asked Jenna what the real significance of the prize fund raise was.
Yeah, I think it's a positive step. I think, you know, we're by no means where we want to be with the prize money, but it's a huge, huge step in the right direction. And it shows the FA's commitment to reaching that long-term goal. I think it takes time, changes take time, but this is, I'd definitely say this is a huge step in the right direction for women's football.
Arsenal boss Jonas Seidevall says it's good, but questions if it's good enough. Citing the fact that the FA is responsible for the growth and development of men's and women's football, and a big difference in prize money affects how people see and value the two different competitions. Do you agree?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, there's always going to be people that will want more, but I think in terms of, are we heading in the right direction with it? Yes, massively we are, and hopefully in years to come, each year it will start to grow and we'll reach that end goal. But I think for now it can only be seen as a positive.
Thanks so much for listening. We'll be back next Monday to break down all the action in the WSL, as well as reflect on the first round of Champions League qualifying games.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.